Each and every day, there are over 265 billion emails sent and received. And this comes out to, on average, about 120 plus emails that are sent and received. And the key word here is average, because two things I want you to think about. The first one is, think about you as a sales professional. Many of you are sending and receiving a heck of a lot more. That would be like a half a day for you, 120 emails. But I also want you to think about the people who are the recipients, the decision makers, and even the higher up you go in an organization, especially at the C level, the more emails that they are involved in. So today I thought it would be a really good idea for us to spend some time talking about things you should be thinking about and doing before you hit the send button on that email. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 15,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. Okay, so as usual, I like to get right down to business, but you know, I'm going to change it up a little bit today because I am incredibly excited about something. And over the weekend, I was at a photo shoot, and the reason why I was at a photo shoot, because it's not something that like I do every weekend. Kind of wish I did, because I felt like a celebrity, but I was at a photo shoot because we're going to be launching the new and improved YourSalesPlaybook.com website just after Labor Day here in the U.S. So I'm guessing it's probably going to be somewhere around September 5th or 6th, give or take a day or two, and I'm going to be keeping you guys posted, but just a total much-needed makeover. So want you guys to stay tuned. And, you know, like, that's like enough kind of like dicking around for me. You know, again, I like to get right down to business, and kind of hate it when people just forever beat around the bush. So, having said that, today we're going to be talking about all the things that you should be thinking about before you hit that send button on the email. And I want you to think about something. Because you and I are involved in just so many emails, right? Most of them are on the fly, just even just like responding to our clients and everything like that. And then you start adding in the prospecting emails that we're involved in. There's a lot. So what happens is, whenever we're involved in something that is like a habit that we continually do over and over and over again, there is this habit just to do it automatically without checking things, without challenging why you're doing certain things. And it just, it can limit us. So having said that, the very first thing that you might not be doing before you hit the send button, you ready for this? And you might hate me for saying this one, but if you stay with me, you'll see that I have a really cool solution for you. So what I want you to do before you click the send button on a prospecting email is to just take a few minutes to do a little bit of pre-call planning. Yeah, I know, you're not going to be able to send as many emails out, but guess what? They're going to be more meaningful and more on target this way, and you're not going to have to send out as many shitty emails. So there's two parts of the pre-call planning I want you to think about. The very first part is the research portion. And for the research, if you really think about it, you could easily spend like just way too much time in research mode, which is probably why you don't feel like you should be doing it, or maybe you feel like you should be doing it, but you just don't want to do that. And I can't say I blame you. So there is an awesome little trick that I learned that I wish it was mine. I really wish I could take credit for it. The person that I heard that talked about this, the gentleman's name is Steve Richards. And he calls it the 3x3 rule. And what you do with the 3x3 rule is you set a timer for 3 minutes and you spend no more than 3 minutes, right? That's the first three, with an objective of trying to find three things that you might be able to use. That is the second three, which is why we have what's called the 3x3 rule. Now, what's really cool about this, I want you to think about something. You might right now want to say to me, hey, Paul, sounds great and everything, and I kind of get it 3 minutes. But first of all, what can I possibly learn about them in 3 minutes? Well, when you're doing this, like, several times a day, you're going to get really good at, like, where you should be looking for information. Secondly, I want you to realize that you can't possibly learn everything there is to know about somebody inside of 3 minutes. But then I also want you to realize that unless you're really, really good at what you do, you're not going to have a one email close or even a one call close. So think about, like, I want you to think about the average company that you approach and how long it takes with all the emails and the phone calls, LinkedIn stuff you're doing and snail mail and creative things that you might be doing to get on the radar screen and they grant you an appointment and that business is like closed, right? It takes a while. So, but if each time you reach out to them, you're gonna take that 3 minutes to find something out. Each time you're gonna find out a few more things, and then the next time a few more things, and it just starts building. So that's the first thing with the pre-call planning. You know, the other thing you could do is a really cool hack is every time you do research on a potential client, when you're approaching them like this, and even, you know, certainly if you have a meeting with them too, but right now we're talking about prospecting. So on the approach, what you should do is set up a listening station. And what you do there is that like Google, if you're in Google and you're looking for certain things on that company and researching and everything else, what I think you should do is just set up a Google alert. Now, just very quickly, something about Google alerts. You know, one of the things that turned me off about the alerts with Google like years ago was the fact that it was blasting like the shit out of my inbox. So there's a really good workaround when it comes to that. And what you want to do in your email program, whatever it is that you use, most of them allow you to set up filters. So anything coming to you from a certain sender, right, certain location, can bypass the inbox and go into your file folder. So I have one that is called business development because I am a freaking genius when it comes to naming things. And being that it's for business development, I creatively decided to call it business development, or BD for short. And what I do is with my Google Alerts, I also set up alerts on other sites that allow me to set up alerts like Social Mention. I send up alerts. I go to a website called Seeking Alpha, which is not a porn or a dating site, right? Many of you are going to be disappointed, but it is actually a financial website where any publicly traded company, you can get information on them. And why not, like, while you're there anyway, set up an alert, have it come to you. So that's what I do. I have it all bypass and come to me every single day. I check that file, see what's going on, see if there's something Uncle Paul needs to pounce on with his fat ass to try to get an opportunity going. And that's one of the things that I do. So 3x3 rule right there. But now there's more, right? That's the research part. The next part of the pre-call planning is to really know your objective. In other words, what do you want them to do as a result of reading your email? Now, I know what you guys are thinking right now, because I know what I would be thinking if this were the first time I heard that little tidbit of like advice right there, is like, you want them to buy. I mean, come on, like, duh, we want them to buy. And I think that's the wrong vibe. And let me explain. I think, you know, if every time I'm reaching out to you, it's buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, it's sending the wrong vibe. Now, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you that a lot of the emails, like the vast majority of the emails that I send out on my email list, we'll have a call to action to buy, but it's after I've given something. Because I really think there are two extremes you have to think about with emails, definitely over on LinkedIn and stuff. See, everybody said you have to give value and then you won't have to sell. That is the biggest line of horseshit that was ever conjured up by sales. First of all, the people dispensing it don't even know what value is. If you ask them, okay, great, what does that value look like and how can I do that? They are going to like leave that conversation fast. Like, they're gonna check their phone, they're gonna have an emergency call, and they're gonna get the hell out of there fast. If it's on LinkedIn, I've seen people doing this, like, I have to give value. And then somebody's like, okay, how do I do that? And then you don't hear from anyone because they got quote unquote busy. They don't know how to answer the damn question. That's really the problem right there, because it's so cliched and we say it so many times, we don't know what the hell it means. So, my suggestion to you is this. is that you have to beware of the two extremes. One extreme is that I'm like, wanna buy. The other extreme is that I'm giving all this value, and then you end up by friend zoning me. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's the topic right there that you'll see your Uncle Paul get more passionate about than worrying about like trying to like overdo it with the selling part. And I'll tell you why. For years, I made that mistake over on LinkedIn, over on my blog. I gave to everybody and I thought the world would build a path to my door. Why? Because I was giving the value that everybody says you should be doing. For us to think that people take our value and say, how can I buy from this person who gave me value? It is just the wrong thing to be thinking about. It doesn't make them bad people. I really believe that people don't walk around thinking about how can I buy your stuff? Just like right now, you're listening to this podcast. Like, this guy is great. How can I buy his stuff? You're not thinking that way. You are receiving the value from me as well you should be because I'm putting it there for you. But that's why you'll notice at the end of the podcast, I am going to like let you know very nicely that your Uncle Paul here is not a not-for-profit. I still have to pay the bills. I will gently remind you with a call to action talking about a webinar that I have coming up, which, by the way, as fate would have it, just happens to do like the topic here, emails. I mean, wow, what a coincidence that is. Like, not, right? So I want you to be aware of the two extremes. So you want to be thinking about that again, but I want you to mix it up. So there are some emails that you can send that you are demonstrating your expertise. Here's another thing in sales people say a lot of. People buy you first. They absolutely do. I agree with that. But what they fail to realize is that if they are buying you, Mary, or you, Todd, or even like, hey, me, Paul Castain, I just didn't want to talk about myself in the third person there, kind of dicky, but I won't do it. And, you know, but like there, you have to demonstrate that you are capable. So you want to, there are emails that you're going to send out where you are giving advice and tips on how to buy your particular product or service, how to really like look at all the choices out there, because just like what I always say with my sales coaching services, not all sales coaches are created equal, right? So you have to educate people on that. We also, through our emails, need to build trust. We can have emails where we're inviting them to something, maybe an industry event, maybe your local chamber or whatever. How about emails where we're introducing people? So, you know, otherwise, here's what happens. And pardon me, profanity coming at you in 3, 2, 1. Otherwise, all you're doing here is attempting to have a courtship by offering the same shitty date. That's really what you're doing. And you can quote me on that if you care to, but I don't really think it's quotable, to be quite honest with you. But the next thing that you want to do is you want to think about how repetitive you're being with the message that you're about to send, like as compared to other times, especially with email. Now, and even across like other platforms, like if you called them and left a voicemail message, or you're about to send the identical thing in an email, and that was the identical to, you know, the intro email you sent a week before that. But here's the thing with repetition that I really want you to understand is that there's good and there's bad when it comes to repetition. I really believe because of the world that we're living in, and the amount of noise and the amount of stuff that we consume on a daily basis, that for you and I to think that these people that we're trying to get in touch with are going to remember us and all the awesome things we represent and bring to the party, I think that is, again, the wrong thing to be thinking about. I think people need a nudge. So I really want you to think about the things in your value proposition, the things about you that you want to get out there as well. It's not just the company, it's you, because they do buy you first. The things that you want to continually demonstrate to them over this courtship. And you have to find a gentle way to repeat those things. And my definition of a gentle way is not every other, like every single email, right, doing that. But also, thinking about, like in music, we have this thing called theme and variation, where we have the theme that we're putting out there, and then we vary the theme, hence the name, theme, and or the phrase, theme and variation. Well, the same thing goes in sales. So if we know that, well, one of the things I want to get out there to you guys is that I have like a tremendous amount of experience. I have a lot of ideas. Well, I could tell you that, but I think it would be better to demonstrate it. So what I can do is I can send you a PDF with some ideas on how to buy sales coaching, which, by the way, I created a guide for that, how to hire a sales coach. Again, I'm being a friendly voice that's telling you, hey, not all sales coaches are created equally, and here's how you can tell the wannabes from the rock stars. Things like that. Things like when I'm talking with you on the phone, I can offer some advice to you, not just pitching you whatever it is. Things that I'm putting up on LinkedIn and on social media. It's not just about like putting content out there. It's our dialogue that we have in these emails. It's, you know, when I call you up, when I leave a voicemail message. So I want to think about what I want to deliberately and intentionally repeat when I am in contact with you. But there's more. Now there's the dark side of this. I feel like I should have the theme from like Star Wars, like when like Darth Vader's getting queued up, right? There is the dark side of this whole thing. What happens is that, and I've seen this trend over the last 2 years, and I don't know who the sales trainers are training people on this, but seriously, they should hang their head because they're doing a disservice. What I've been noticing, with, again, as a business owner, because I get a lot of emails from you guys trying to sell me stuff. And I noticed that there is this trend where you send an email, and the emails that are being sent on the first one are pretty short of shitty. But again, I don't want to be like one of those like sales trainers that's sitting here like, I've got it all figured out and you guys all suck. I really don't mean to do that, but I'm just telling you that there is nothing in those emails that really would make me compelled to read more, let alone do whatever it is you're asking me to do. And for the life of me, I can't even remember what these people are asking me to do. They suck that badly. But here's the thing. Here's where it gets worse. Then I notice, like 2, 3, 4 days later, I get the same shitty email forwarded to me again. The same email. But you see, somebody taught you guys that it's okay to take the same piece of crap and just say something like, just circling back, or just checking in, or just wanted to give this a friendly bump to the top of your inbox. You know, it's like, now it's okay, because now it's a different email. Hell, you typed a whole effing sentence. Yay you. You changed it up. You are like the next David Ogilvy. You missed your calling. You are creative. And then, you ready for this? They forward it again a few days later. And aside from that, just to me, demonstrating a complete lack of creativity, we're going to stop on that note for a minute. The people that you and I are trying to get a hold of, they desperately need creative solutions to some very real challenges that they have. And I can tell you all day long, I'm your man. I am a creative dude. I've come up with all kinds of creative ideas for my clients. Hell, I won the creativity contest in the fourth grade in Mrs. Berman's class. But, you know, I just don't think it means dick. I mean, better yet, what if I demonstrated that creativity to you, man? And I demonstrated it before I ever got in the door to see you, man. That's like, now we're talking. Gold star, yay you, man. That's awesome. So that's, you know, and I also think that a forwarded email sends an unintentional vibe of, you know, hey, jackass, how about responding to me? I just do. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just, I don't know. Maybe I'm a step away from being that old guy yelling at kids for playing ball on the lawn. But they can't with my house. I got a fence. Electrified. No, it's not electrified. But anyway, the next thing you want to think about, am I leading with stuff about them, or am I leading with stuff that they really don't care about, like about me and my company? So we want to start with the subject line. That's our first line of defense. Why? Because 82% of the emails that we send out are never even opened. And that is not a statistic that I just pulled out of the air so that I can sell lots and lots of webinars. I mean, I did the research myself. You could do it yourself too. I went into AWeber and I went into MailChimp and I looked at, I think it was especially MailChimp where I got the most information. And if you go in there, you'll see that they show you by industry what the typical open rates are for emails. And then what I did was I said, okay, let me just like take them all and average them up and everything. And I mean, because there were some horrible ones. There were some ones in there that were like like down as low as like 7% and 6%. So again, according to industry, you're going to have different like typical average open rates. But when we averaged it all up, it's about, you know, 18% is about right. So again, let's just take that and look at it a different way. If the average open rate is 18%, that means 82% are getting shit canned and they're dying at the subject line. That's, we are not intriguing them because I can't imagine that the vast majority of people just never check their email. Email is pretty much the preferred platform for communication today. Good, you know, bad or indifferent, that is just the way it is. So our first defense is the subject line. So again, I would have to ask you, that subject line, is it more about you and your company or is it about them? There is this other trend I've seen companies doing, and I think it's lame. And I think it is just self-centered and just like boring as hell. I'll see people in the subject line put the name of their company in there. It's like, imagine I like send to you guys something, subject line, Castaing Training Systems. What do you care about Castaing Training Systems? Unless in that moment your boss said to you, hey, you need to hire a sales trainer. All of a sudden you get this thing. You'd be like, oh my gosh, does this guy have like the place bugged? He's like, he's some kind of like sorcerer, this Castaing. Man. So it really doesn't mean anything to them. It is a wasted breath. It is getting you disregarded and deleted. So it's better that you lead with something about them. Then when we look at the greeting, I think a lot of people waste time in their greetings. And what do I mean by that? By like many times what people will do is that they'll write the email in a way that really would be better if they were talking with them. Now, you'll see in a little while, it's going to sound like I'm contradicting myself because I actually think that you should write the way you talk. But I think there are certain things that are just ridiculous and redundant. For example, beginning an email with, my name is Paul Castaing. I think that is asinine. First of all, I can't speak for you. I don't open an email without looking at who it's from. I just don't. It's just a habit. Who is this from? Who is this? Right? But also, many people, they will scan an email just very quickly, see how lengthy it is, see if there's anything that jumps out at them very, very quickly because we're dealing with so many emails each and every day. So many times, you know, they're going to like scroll down and see, again, who's it from again? And certainly by the time they get to the end of the damn email, they're going to know who it's from. So to me, you are wasting valuable attention span right there on something that is idiotic. It's a waste of time. Also, this one you're going to really say, man, this guy is really a bitter son of a bitch. I don't like Castaing. I don't like those damn New Yorkers, right? It's like people will start off and they're like, hi, John, I hope you are well. It's, again, I really believe you're wasting breath right there for someone. And more importantly, never mind wasting your breath, right? Because you might disagree with me. I just think that you're wasting their time. And I read something very interesting on LinkedIn. And it was this past week that I read. It was probably somewhere around August, like for those of you listening, and probably like you wouldn't be listening in if you're hearing my voice. Like, how stupid was that? But anyway, see, that was wasted breath. But anyway, it was probably like August 6th or 7th that I read this. And it was a CEO writing about his thought process when he receives cold calls, I think it was. And he was saying, when you start off by saying, how are you today? Now, let's stop right there. Many of us were taught, hey, be courteous and be friendly and everything else. And what he said was, you know, I don't want you to take offense to the fact that I'm going to just completely ignore that, how are you today, and going to respond with, how can I help you? He said, I'm not trying, basically, pardon me, again, well, I'm not going to apologize for my language. He basically said something along the lines, hey, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but it's just best we get down to business. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with being courteous, but I just think, again, if you're going to say, I hope you are well, I really believe, again, you have a very small window to get their attention, and you are wasting that time on something that they're going to blow right through. So, you know, I think it's more important that, not that you're an a-hole with them, I just think that it's important that you cut to the chase and you give them the value. The next thing that you need to check right after the greeting is, again, are you leading with something about yourself or something about them? So your typical email would open up that, you know, where, you know, I represent Castain Training Systems and we are a full service training company and blah, blah, blah. Again, it's at that point, what would you care about Castain Training Systems? What I recommend that you do, that's a hell of a lot more effective. And by the way, this is not me pulling ideas out of thin air here. I've tested this particular one now for the last, I'm guessing 4 years or so, whatever, with my coaching clients, and everybody's gone through my webinars. I talk about this one probably just about every webinar. I talk about this technique, about leading with them. And everybody's coming back telling me they're getting much better results. I've seen it with my own sales efforts. So instead of leading with something about you, and like immediately, right after you say hello, or, you know, dear John, or dear Jackie, or hey Jackie, or yo Bob, however way you open it up, that's up to you. Right after that, I suggest you use the following phrase. I noticed that. Here's the phrase again. I noticed that. And then you're going to tell them something that you noticed in that research that I told you you should be doing. And you're going to use that. I mean, you're not going to just pull something out of, like, again, out of thin air. You're going to have something that you can leverage, something that you can use as a sales professional. So, for example, one of the triggers that I look for when I'm doing my research are companies that are expanding their sales force and they're doing a lot of hiring. So I might write an email to Ellen and I might say, hi, Ellen, I noticed that you're expanding your sales force in the New York market. You see, right away, there's a whole difference to how this starts off. One way I start off talking about Castain Training Systems, something that I really don't think these people are going to care about. And they're not going to give me a lot of time to make them care about it. Like, it's almost like, okay, you lost me at hello. And I can't afford that. What I'd rather do is talk about something that's on their mind right now, front and center. They're dealing with this expansion right now. They're dealing with that product launch. They're dealing with these new members of the management team. They're dealing with this competitor, which is a great trigger, by the way. Competitors. That could be an awesome thing for you to get somebody's attention with them. Kind of that whole, you know, FOMO and keeping up with the Joneses thing. So I want you to think about that. I also want you to, before you click send, I want you, when you do talk about your company, because you're allowed to talk about your company, I'm just saying reverse the order. So now after you lead with them and then you kind of tie it in with something that you do that can help with that thing you noticed, what you want to do now is you want to ask yourself, well, am I using evidence to reduce any degree of doubt and skepticism? And on this note, we have to have a timeout. I want you to think about something, and I'm being incredibly sarcastic here. Nobody ever doubts a salesperson, right? Nobody ever has any degree of skepticism toward a salesperson. They believe us because all salespeople are honest and they are to be trusted. You guys know that we've got a lot of strikes against us because of people who went before us who weren't exactly forthright with them. So most people, and by the way, let's be honest, even us salespeople, we're naturally kind of skeptical of things, right? We don't believe everything we hear. So what you want to do is make sure that you're using forms of evidence. And there's a lot of different forms of evidence. One, I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be teaching 12 different types of evidence that you can use in your emails in our upcoming webinar that we're going to have on August 24th. But for now, let me just give you a few to get you started. providing examples to people. So don't just say it. Just like before we had that phrase, I noticed that. Very simple phrase is at the end of like a statement you make, for example. And then you give them an example of how like you saved the day with that. So if you're talking about service, well, you give an example of how you've provided stellar service. If you're talking about how your product has performed better, well, for example. So those are some important things, but also testimonials are really, really important. The way that I learned about testimonials when I worked for Dale Carnegie is that, you know, testimonials especially, it answers the question, well, who says so besides yourself? And I was thinking about something that, like, I've heard throughout my sales career, not many times, thank goodness, but every once in a while, like, you'll get somebody. The last time I heard this, it's probably a decade ago. But it's almost like somebody said something that confirmed to me something that I know people think about. And it's almost like, well, of course you're going to say great things about your company because, you know, you sell that product or service. You're not going to tell me something shitty, right? So what's beautiful about testimonials, again, answers that question. Well, who says so besides yourself? Providing people with facts are really, really important. So I want you to think about what are some forms of evidence that you can provide within the email to answer that question, who says so besides yourself? The next thing you need to do before you hit the send button is you need to know the next move after your email is being sent. You need to know your next move after that email, like what happens next. And what the way I teach sales reps is to think about three touch mini campaigns. Think three touches at a time. So what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is, okay, I'm gonna send you this intro email. I am going to wait X amount of time, that's completely up to you, and then I'm gonna call you on such and such a date. Now, if you don't answer that phone, or if I don't hear back from you, I am gonna wait X amount of time, and then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna send you a FedEx, or I'm gonna send you a LinkedIn invite, or something really like cool and creative to get your attention. But you guys get the idea. We're thinking three touches at a time. It's very important to do that because when you premeditate your communication, the quality of your communication dramatically improves. But also, now you can think in the way that you should be thinking when it comes to all of these touches. You gotta stop thinking in silos. Many times we think of that email we're gonna send as in a silo and one off. That phone call we're gonna make, well, it's time for me to call them. We don't think about it as part of a total communication plan. In other words, okay, if I don't hear from them after that call, here's my next step. Now, when you know what your next move is gonna be, you can queue up the next move in, like for example, the email. So if I know that when I'm gonna be sending you an email, that my next move is going to be that I'm gonna be giving you a call. And I want you guys to write this down if you're not driving. Then what I do is I teach something called the reverse call to action. It's the opposite of a call to action. A call to action in an email might be reply to this email and I will blah, 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 blah. Click here and whatever for more information or for my schedule or whatever it is, right? That's your typical call to action. Reverse call to action is when we don't ask them to do anything. We basically tell them to watch for something from us. So if I know my next move is a call, I can set up that call by saying that, you know, I'm actually going to be calling you on such and such a day at such and such a time. I'm hoping you'll take my call because, and I'll get into that technique in a minute, or what if I wanted to, maybe it's not going to be a call. Maybe I'm going to be in the neighborhood and I wanted to give them a courtesy of a heads up because I'm going to be stopping in. Mostly so they don't give me that shitty look like, why are you stopping in, right? We don't have the exclusive thing on that in New York. You guys have that too. That look, people, almost like I had to, like, what are you doing here? And who are you? And why are you in my space? How dare you? Right? Release the hounds. But anyway, I might say to them, I'm actually going to be stopping in between this time and that time. I might say to you, right? I might say, watch for a really cool FedEx that's going to be arriving in the next few days. You see, when you use a reverse call to action and you do it the right way, you create a potato chip. A potato chip, you guys know the deal. You can't eat just one. Makes you hungry for more. Now, let's talk about that technique for a minute and how it marries in here. It's very important that you provide a potato chip to set up your next move, because that increases the probability of them taking your phone call, them greeting you when you stop by, them eagerly anticipating that FedEx. This technique has been used on you and me our entire lives, and I'll give you the best example that I possibly could give you. If there are any Game of Thrones fans out there, right? I'm like an absolute huge fan. Late bloomer on that too. I only started watching it about a year ago, and I binged watched that bitch. I mean, I couldn't stop. I mean, seriously, I was sitting here unshaven, unshowered, and like my family had to do an intervention. It was that bad. But anyway, at the end of the show, what do they usually do, right? They usually will show you almost like the coming attractions or a preview for next week. And what is the point of that? It's to make you hungry for more, to get you to tune in. We see it on talk shows. They'll say things like, when we return, we're going to talk about this. We see it on the news. After the break, we're going to talk about, you know, trouble in the Middle East, right? That kind of stuff. It's really important. And in the training world, we have a technique called bridging, where many times, you know, we'll bridge one subject into another. We'll do it before a break, and we'll say something like, when we come back from the break, you can, you know, blah, we're going to be talking about blah, blah, and blah. So I want you to think about that, how you might be able to, if you know your next move, how can you get this email to also set up that next move? Because there's so many different things that we should be doing during the courtship, but we want to get them all to work together in unison instead of these little sporadic things that haven't been thought out other than a seat of your pants type of moment. Next, you know, you obviously have to proofread the email, and I'm not going to go on and on about that one, but I have a suggestion for you that I talk about quite a bit. You should, as part of your proofreading, you should actually read the email out loud. So the first pass through it, just read it, make sure that it's not, you know, littered with all kinds of stuff. The biggest thing that I notice, and I know I've caught myself several times, is when we have like words that we're confusing, like instead of like they are, we're writing it down as like T-H-E-R-E or T-H-E-I-R, right? We're doing that kind of thing. So I'd watch for that, but read your email out loud and then give it the old kitchen table test. The kitchen table test is simply this. Read it out loud and listen to yourself. And if you find that those words are a little stuffy, a little corporate, a little formal, and certainly if they really would not represent the kind of words that you would say at the kitchen table, having a cup of coffee or a beer with a buddy or a family member, then don't you dare say it in an email. And the other thing that you can do, and this is kind of interesting, and I call it a reverse kitchen table test, is when you're really trying to figure out what you want to say in an email. Like maybe it's your first time and you don't have templates and you want to come up with something that's good and has that good kitchen table feel. What I recommend that you do is you don't write it out at first. You don't type it out at first. You simply take your smartphone and hit the record app that you have and record yourself talking it through. And play it back and say, oh, wow, I like this here, I hate that there, like this here, yeah, those other two things we could just throw out. And keep doing it until you have something that's conversational in a way, and also that just like is going to read the way you want, and then transcribe it and, you know, take it from there. That's what I would do. That's kind of a reverse kitchen table test. So there you have it. I mean, I've given you several things. I didn't hold back. Hope you guys don't feel like I held back today. Several things to do before clicking that send button. And I actually have a file. I have, and this is like my top secret file I'm telling you about. I have a file with 20 of my best sales email templates. templates. They're all as like Word docs. Why? Because I typically send them to my coaching clients and people I consult with so that as a Word doc, they can change it around to fit their personality and their style and fill in the blanks and all that kind of stuff. But I have this really cool file with 20 of my best email templates. I'm going to be sharing it with everyone on August 24th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And actually, I have to correct that. I'm not going to be sharing it with everyone. I'm only going to be sharing it with the people who come join us for the webinar I'm going to be hosting that day on emailing, and particularly those 20 best emails. I'm going to walk you through them. Some of these emails have multiple variations, so it's really going to add a lot to your email repertoire, so to speak. And what I'm really excited about when it comes to this webinar that we're going to be doing is that I'm going to be also teaching you how to fish. And I'm going to show you the techniques that are behind it. So this way you could take that one email, and again, you can get 10 variations. Like I said, I have one that has 30 different variations, by the way, that you can do. So I'm going to do that, but also giving you the templates. If you guys want to learn more, and certainly if you want to come join us, I'm hoping we'll hang out together and be able to work together a little bit. Would you please stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail, singular. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.